But after I heard them talk, I said, those are big men. Amen. It takes a man to do what they did, to stand up and share their heart and what God has done for them. Be turning your Bible to the Gospel of Mark. The Gospel of Mark. As we started last night, this week, thinking about the kingdom of God. Again, as Brother Brad told you, the central theme of the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation is the advancement of God's kingdom through His glorification. His agenda for us is the visible manifestation of the comprehensive rule of God over every area of our life. And as I heard some of you listen last night, so I praise God for that. But when we understand what the Word of God is all about, what God is all about, what God is doing in our world today, it helps us to understand and see what God has in store for us as children of the King. But when we understand this, this also helps us to understand other areas in our lives. Why there is a constant struggle for someone else who desires to have the rule of our life. Stand with me tonight as we reverence the reading of God's Word, Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. Verse 12. Let's back up verse 9. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens open and the Spirit like a dove descended upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, Thou art my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beast, and the angels ministered unto him. Father, we thank you again for this beautiful day, God, you've created. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to be here in your house with your people. God, thank you for those here tonight. Lord, this beautiful day, two beautiful days in a row we've had this spring, the prettiest yet, and Lord, they purpose in their hearts to be here tonight, to be with you. So I ask right now, dear God, through your Holy Spirit, that you give us understanding of these truths in your Word so that we can live our life to glorify you. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. That's what I was looking for. Jesus entered his public ministry by going to the River Jordan and being baptized, which water baptism is a very important part of our Christian salvation. But there's another very important aspect of our Christian salvation experience I want to talk to you about tonight, that a lot of defeated Christians don't understand, that God would have you to understand. Remember, we said God wants everyone to enter into the kingdom of heaven, and you must do that by being born again through the blood that Jesus Christ shed for us at Calvary. But then we said last week, God wants us to understand the kingdom of God. Let me say, we will never fully understand God. Last night, one or two said, man, that was deep. Let me tell you, we've got a deep God, amen. We have a deep God. The more I read the Word of God, the more I study the Word of God, the closer I get to God, the more I stand amazed of God. I call it the wow factor. I just stand in awe, as Isaiah did. Remember when Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up, he said, woe is me. We'll never fully understand God, but we can understand what God is doing. And he wants us to understand, so that we can have, he said, I've come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. He wants us to have that more abundant life. But Jesus also said, the thief cometh but to kill, steal, and destroy. Immediately after Jesus was baptized, we just read in our text tonight, Jesus was drove into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit. for Jesus to have been drove into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit, he had to be in submission to the Holy Spirit. Let me ask you tonight, are you in submission to the Holy Spirit of your life? Verse 13 tells us why we need to be in submission to the Holy Spirit in the process of our salvation. Look at it again. And there was there in the wilderness 40 days tempted of Satan. Tempted of Satan. As children of the Most High God, we have an enemy. Amen?
Amen.
Now, people says the devil is a little guy, a little red figure with a pitchfork and a pointed tail. He's make believe, he's not true. But Peter said, 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. You do realize that tonight, don't you? And he wants to have control of your life. Let me say this, everybody here tonight, you're in one of two categories. You're either child of the king or you're child of Satan. Jesus said so himself, amen? He said you're either for me or you're against me. No middle of the road. Let me go ahead and answer the question right off people asked. Why did God create the devil to be in his kingdom? Let me give you the answer. God did not create the devil. Turn over your Bible to Ezekiel right quick. We're going to see this right quick. Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 13. And then we're going to go to Isaiah chapter 14, Ezekiel chapter 28. God did not create the devil. I hear pages turning, so I'll wait a second. Love to hear that. Ezekiel 28, first. And if you find that, go ahead and find Isaiah 14. God did not create the devil. God created Lucifer, the anointed cherub that covereth, one of the three cherub angels that we know of in the Word of God. Michael is one, and Gabriel is the other. Lucifer was the third. Ezekiel 28, verse 13, God is describing Lucifer, the anointed cherub that covereth before he fell. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Now, who all do we know that was in Eden, the garden of God? Adam and Eve, God and... Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. But listen how he describes Lucifer before he was Satan. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the chasuble, the gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes were prepared in thee in the day thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day thou wast created. Stop right there. Did you hear how he described Lucifer, the anointed cherub that covereth? God said, you were on the mountain of God. That's the throne of God in heaven. He describes his pipes. Most scholars believe that Lucifer was the angel in charge of the worship in the throne room of God. He was the choir leader of the angels. His pipes, like the organ pipes, he was the choir leader of the angels in heaven. And he was there, and he saw the worship that came up to God. And where we stop, look what it says next. Till iniquity was found in thee. Now flip over to Isaiah 14. Until iniquity was found in thee. What was his iniquity? Isaiah 14, verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, the son of the morning? How art thou cut down the ground, which is weak of the nations? Listen to what he did. For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, or the angels of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High God. Lucifer had an eye problem. Five eyes there. He saw the worship of God. He wanted to worship God. He said, I will exalt my throne above the throne of all the other angels, and I will sit in the sides of the north. Psalms 48 tells us that God's throne is in the sides of the north. So he said, I am going to be God. And when he said, I will be God, God kicked him out of heaven. He was once Lucifer. Now he is the prince of the power of the air. Jesus called him that three times in the Gospel of John. And he is the prince of this world system that we live in today. So understand right off, God does not create evil. Everything that God created in the 6 days of creation, God said it was good. At the end, he said it was very good. God only created good. Lucifer was a good angel until he was lifted up with pride. Now he is Satan, our adversary. So God did not create Satan. But let me tell you today, Satan is real, he's alive, and he's active today in this world that we live in. Anybody had any problems with him today? Amen? Amen. One of the greatest lies, one of the greatest falsehoods that comes straight from hell is this. Come to Jesus, accept him as your Lord and Savior, and everything will be a bed of roses. You ever heard a preacher say that? That's not from God. Amen? Jesus said, in this world ye shall have tribulations. It says, those who live righteous in Christ shall suffer persecution. Amen? Why? Because we have an adversary, the devil, who hates me and who hates you. You know why he hates us? The Bible says we're created in God's image and God's likeness. When Satan looks at us, he sees his number one enemy, God. And that's why he hates you. And if it were not for the hand of God's protection upon you today, you would not be here. He would have already destroyed you. Amen. We know that from the book of Job. Satan had to go before God before he could do anything with Job. So we know that God has his hand of protection upon us. But listen, a lot of Christians today are defeated because they don't understand Satan and how Satan works in their life to try to control it. I love what J. Vernon McGee said. He said, Satan was defeated at Calvary. His teeth were pulled. But if you let him, he'll gum you to death. Right. Amen. Amen? He will. And that's a slow, painful death, too. Amen? Listen to what Paul said, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. Lest Satan should get advantage of you, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Which tells us, we need to be aware of Satan's works so we know what he is doing so he does not take advantage of us. Number one device that Satan uses is ignorance. And Satan would love for you to remain that way so he could have his way with you. Mark clearly reveals that the reason Jesus was led or driven to the Holy Spirit in the wilderness was to be tempted for 40 days by Satan. But we also read there in verse 13, to be ministered to by God. Listen, Satan's main device by which he seeks to devour you and I are temptations. Satan would love you to be ignorant of his devices so that he may take advantage of you, but God would have you to understand these devices so you can overcome Satan and allow God to rule your heart and rule your life for his honor, for his glory. I want to give you 7 biblical truths tonight concerning temptations of Satan. 7 biblical truths so Satan does not get advantage of you. Number one, hopefully you write these down somewhere. All temptations come from Satan. James chapter 1, verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Again, God only does good. God only created good. Listen, Satan creates nothing. Satan is a pervert. Listen to what I'm saying. Satan takes the good things of God and he perverts them, he twists them, he warps them to do his evil work in your life. Amen? Amen? Amen. You need to understand that. Listen. When we're saved, we're born again. Paul says, but as newborn babes in Christ, we must grow. Some people say, why does God allow Satan to tempt us? That's how we grow as newborn babes, amen? Thank God for these new babies you've got on the way. I think you said last night you got three new babies on the way, amen? But let me ask you this. When that new little baby is born, and it comes a day you get to take that bundle of joy home from the hospital, are you going to take it home, put it in the nursery, put it in the crib, and leave it there for 18 years? No. That would be weird, wouldn't it? I mean, see an 18-year-old walking around with a diaper on sucking his son. Amen? A lot of Christians look like that today. Oh, boy. You know you got to get that little baby out of the crib, right? You got to let it stretch. You got to let it get up, try to walk. It's got to fall down. It's got to stretch its muscles because in exercising, stretch its muscles, that's how it grows. It's through the exercise and the stretching of our faith when God allows Satan to tempt us. Now, God does not tempt us, but he allows Satan to tempt us so we can grow from a newborn baby in Christ to a mature Christian who's living her life for the honor and the glory of God. Listen, the Bible tells us that God never tempts anyone. All right? Think about this. It's like Joseph when he met his brothers after they'd been restored in Egypt to fellowship and knew who he was. Remember what Joseph said of their sin? You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Amen? Satan means his temptations for evil to destroy you, but God allows Satan to tempt you for your good, to grow you and mature you, to make you more like Christ. Because Christ was tempted, we will be tempted. Number two, Satan's temptations can come to any person. Any person. Don't just think because you're a preacher, a deacon, a Sunday school teacher, a nursery worker, or whatever it is you do for God's glory, don't think that God will not tempt you. God, I missed it. Don't think that Satan will not tempt you. If Satan tempts the Son of God, Jesus himself, he will tempt you.
That's right.
Amen? Mark it down. Understand, he will tempt you. You hear Christians say things, well, I would never do that. Don't ever say that. Amen? List 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall.
Amen.
An old Indian saying, he who walks in slippery places, fall. Amen? Amen. Need to think about that. There are some places in your life you know where you ought not to walk.
Amen.
Amen. Just heard the brother admit where one of his weaknesses were. You know where that weakness is. God knows where it is, but guess who else probably knows where it is? Satan knows where it is. Amen? And that is the area where you think, or where you may say, I'll never do that. You've got your guard down, and that's where he'll hit you. Amen? He will. Why? Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Amen? We don't even know ourselves the potential that we have within us to sin if it were not for the grace of God. Amen? Amen. No one is above temptation. Only Jesus is above falling in sin because he was in complete submission to the Father's will and the comprehensive rule of God over every area of his life. 3. Satan's temptations can come at any time or any period of your salvation experience. I want you to see this. The text that we just read was one of the most, probably the three most important highs of Jesus' ministry because God spoke to him from heaven. 3 times in Jesus' ministry, God spoke from heaven. Here at his baptism, his transfiguration, Matthew chapter 17, God spoke. And just before going to the cross in John chapter 12, God spoke to him from heaven. The greatest spiritual high in Jesus' ministry, he was tempted. Think about it. Adrian Rogers said, when you have the approval of heaven, you can expect the assault of hell. Amen. You have a spiritual high, God blesses you and does something supernatural in your life, guess who's just around the corner? You need to learn to expect it. Amen. Don't wonder, expect it. Think back about the Bible. The great men of God, that God done great things in their life, often after the great spiritual highs, they fail. Moses just led the entire nation of Israel through the Red Sea, and the people began to murmur. And Moses found out you didn't have to be a camel to be fed up with people, and he asked God to die. Amen? Elijah just defeated the 450 prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel, and one woman, Jezebel, speaks against him, and he runs to the back side of the desert and asks God to die. Amen? Jonah experienced probably the greatest revival of all history as an entire nation, 160,000 people, repented and turned back to God. And then the next chapter we see Jonah asking God to die. Amen? Anytime you have a spiritual high, Satan will tempt you. Temptations can come to anyone at any time, any period of your salvation. You never arrive to the place in your Christian walk that you cannot be tempted of Satan on this side of heaven. So just expect it. 4, Satan's temptations can come at any place. Any place. Don't get the idea you can isolate or insulate yourself from temptation. You hear people say things like, if I could just get out of this hellhole where I work, I probably wouldn't be tempted as much. Think about it. Satan tempted the first Adam in a garden of paradise. Amen. And we just read where Satan tempted the second Adam in a wilderness. What does that tell us? There's no environment where you can be safe from Satan, and there's no place you cannot overcome him. Because Jesus did. Amen. Satan does not care if you're in church or if you're in a bar. Somebody looked at me funny. Yes, you can be tempted in church. Amen. He does not care where you're at. He will tempt you. 5, Satan's temptations are made known to us. Now you need to listen very carefully on this point. Hebrews 4:15. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Listen to what it's saying. Jesus was our example. He was tempted in every point, every way that you can ever be tempted. Jesus was tempted, and he was victorious. Listen to Ecclesiastes 1:9. The thing that hath been, it is, that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done, and there is no new thing under the sun. Satan uses the same old temptation that he used from the beginning of time. He still uses on you and I. But the Word of God reveals those to us so we can know when he's coming. 1 John 2:16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world system. If you look at it in the Greek. 3 areas of temptation. You hear what they were? Lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. That's how Satan tempts you. That's how he tempted Adam and Eve, and that's how he tempted Jesus in the wilderness. Let me explain them to you right quick. Lust of the flesh. That's the temptation to satisfy the physical desires of your body. Legitimate desires, because God created you, God gave you those desires, the desires to eat, for one example. They're legitimate. God gave it to it for a good reason. But Satan tempts you to fulfill them in illegitimate ways outside the will of God. Again, Satan is a pervert. Amen? Amen? Satan has created nothing. Satan takes the things of God and uses it for his purposes. That's the lust of the flesh. Lust of the eyes. Did you know your eyes have an appetite? You ever heard anybody say, feast your eyes on this? That's because your eyes have an appetite. Amen? Satan does the same thing. The lust of the eyes deals with soul, the area of the being. Now again, he knows the area that you're weak. At the time that you're weak, he'll bring that area before you so you can see it to tempt you there. The pride of life deals with the spirit, and that's the area of being. How did Satan fall? We just read that. He was lifted up in pride. Go to Proverbs chapter 6, you'll see seven things that God hates, seven is abomination, and what's number one? Pride, a proud look. Satan loves to use pride on you because that's how he fell. Amen? And he will at the time you least expect it. Boy, I done good on that. Amen? Boy, I nailed that sermon. Boy, I got that song right. Amen? Didn't I do a good job on my testimony? Where's that coming from? It's coming from Satan. Amen? He wants to get you lifted up, filled with pride, puffed up, so he can destroy you. Genesis chapter 3 in the Garden of Eden. Go back sometime. We don't have time to go there. But in Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, we see the three areas of temptation and man's failure. Let me read you one verse and listen. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that's lust of the flesh, good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, lust of the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, the pride of life, she took of the fruit thereof, did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And they plunged the entire human race into sin. Amen? The lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, the pride of life. Flip over to the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 4. See how he used these on Jesus. Look at Jesus as our example. Luke chapter 4. And being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit to the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. In those days did he eat nothing, and when they ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, commit these stones that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. How did Satan tempt Jesus? Lust of the flesh. He had fasted 40 days. He was hungry. And Satan tempted him. He said, Do something. Take this for your body. And everything will be okay. Satisfy your body. Do something. Make a God out of your appetite. You ever heard that? Make a God out of your appetite. Turn these stones into bread. Now, there's nothing wrong with bread. Amen? Jesus ate bread. He broke bread. We've got bread in the Lord's Supper. He fed the 5,000 bread. There's nothing wrong with bread. But Jesus was led of the Spirit in the wilderness to fast. Had he turned the stone to bread, he would have been out of God's will for his life at that time. Luke, go on, look at verse 5. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power I give thee, and the glory of them, for what is delivered unto me, to whomsoever I will give it. If thou for wilt worship me, all shall be thine. He showed him. What was that? Lust of the eyes, temptation to the soul to have something. Now again, there's nothing wrong with things, because God created all things for us to richly enjoy, the Bible says, amen? By Him and through Him were all things created, so there's nothing wrong with things. But the devil says, if you'll just worship me, if you'll do my bidding, you can have all the king of this world, just sell out, and I'll give you the things of the world to satisfy your soul. Think about the things of the world today we sell our soul out for. Just to have something. Amen? Go on, look at verse 9. And he brought him to Jerusalem, sat on the pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. What was this? The pride of life. The temptation. The temptation to his spirit to be something. The devil says, now listen to what the devil said. I'm going to paraphrase. The devil says, I'm going to take you up the top of the pinnacle. It says in the book of Malachi that when the Lord comes, he will come quickly to the temple. He said, cast yourself down. The angels will catch you and bring you in the temple. They'll see you come down and they'll all worship you as the Messiah. And you notice what he used on Jesus? Did you notice that? If you look closely in verse 10, for it is written, what did the devil use? He used the Word of God. But what did we say last night? The devil is a liar. Good sounding lies. It sounds good. But if you look closely at the verse he quoted from the book of Psalms, he added something to it. Amen? Good sounding lies, like we talked about last night. But it's not the truth, because he added to it. Again, the moral standard by which we measure reality is the truth, the Word of God, the complete, inerrant, infallible Word of God. Amen? And the devil will trick you if you are not careful. He is very, very deceptive. Listen, Jesus overcame these, so can we. We'll talk about this more in just a minute. Sixth thing, Jesus would have us to be on guard concerning these temptations. Matthew 26, verse 41, Jesus is in complete submission to the Father's will and in leading the Holy Spirit in the Garden of Gethsemane, preparing to go to the cross. And remember what Jesus said to the disciples. He said, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation." Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. Listen to what he says, though. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. The spirit is willing. The Holy Spirit in your life is ready to lead you, to guide you, to direct you, to warn you, to instruct you in how you should go. That's God's part. But the flesh is our part. Are you willing? Are you willing to allow the Holy Spirit to lead you, guide you, direct you, instruct you, warn you, and then heed and listen to Him? Or do you allow the weak flesh to control your life? Again, Jesus was submitted to the Spirit. Was He not? You ever heard anybody say that temptation was too great for me to overcome? No, it wasn't. You was just too weak in the flesh. Amen? You were not filled with the Holy Spirit. You were not in the Word of God, the truths of God. You didn't have those in your heart. Thy words have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Amen? You were weak because you were not ready. You were not on guard for Satan to tempt you. How did Jesus overcome Satan? All three times, what did He do? We just read it. What did He do? He quoted the Word of God. It is written. Amen? How do we overcome temptation? God promises us that He will bring what we need back to our remembrance in our time of need. Does He not? But in order for Him to bring it back to our remembrance, it must be put there.
Right.
Amen. Amen? And that's our part. He'll do His part if we do our part. Amen? We have to put it in for Him to bring it back. Number 7. God is with us through our temptation. Great promise from God concerning Satan temptation. We're getting ready to close. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation. Everybody say no temptation.
No temptation.
There is no temptation taking you but such as common to man. But God is faithful. Everybody say God is faithful.
God is faithful.
God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. Amen.
Amen.
If you're ready, if you're willing, you're on guard, Satan is devices, you're in the Word of God studying, allow the Holy Spirit to lead and guide and direct your life. When that temptation comes, God will give you a way to escape.
Amen.
He promises He will. He promises. Listen. Listen as Paul speaks of Adam and Eve's fall, the same temptation that we just talked about. Listen to what Paul says, 1 Timothy 2:14. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Listen closely. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Now, men, you ever say, if Eve hadn't have done that, we wouldn't be in the shape we was in. I know you've said that. I've said that. What did God just say? And Adam was not deceived, but the woman been deceived was in the transgression. Paul says that Eve was deceived, but you go back and study what God said concerning the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Remember what God said? Go back and read this when you get home. He said that in the day that ye eat of it, ye shall surely die. Remember that? When God was talking to Eve? You go back and you look at what Eve told the serpent concerning what God said. Eve said that God said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. She didn't know the word of God. Whose job was it to tell her? Adam's. The head of the house, the spiritual leader that brother spoke of. Amen? What was Adam to have done anyway in the first place? God told him to what? The garden. Told him to do two things. That was one of it. Keep it. There was one before that. Guard it and keep it. Why would he have to guard it? Adam was supposed to guard his home of paradise, his precious wife, from Satan. And Adam was probably somewhere over under a shade tree, whittling with his pocket knife, when Eve come and was Satan came and deceived Eve. Amen. Don't blame the woman. One of you's listening. Eve, not being a steward of the word of God, was easily deceived. Same scripture tells that Adam sinned with his eyes wide open. He willingly ignored the word of God. He could have said, no, Eve, we don't need to do this. God has said. Could he have not? I wish he would have, don't you?
Yep.
Amen. He could have said, no, God said we're not to do this. It's not good for us. You do know, now listen, young people. Listen to this, young people. People says that Christian stuff is so limited. There's all this, don't do this, don't do that. Anytime God says don't do that, he's saying it's not good for you. Anytime God says go ahead, he's saying it's good for you, right? That's simply how it is. If he's saying don't do it, it's not good for you. If he says thou shall, it's good for you. Go ahead and help yourself. Adam should have said, no, Eve, we can't do this. God said we can't do it. It's not good for us. He did not. He plunged the entire human race into sin, and we've suffered the consequences ever since. But listen, we have a high priest who was tempted just as we are, and he was sinless in his temptations. Therefore, he knows. He knows when we're being tempted. And if you'll be honest with God, say, God, I'm being tempted here. Any of you ever do that? You need to if you don't. God, I'm being tempted here. This thing is bigger than I am. I need you right now to come help me. Amen? And if you'll be honest with God and you'll ask, he knows what you need. He knows how to pray for you. Amen? The Bible says when we don't even know how to pray for ourselves, the Spirit prays for us. Amen? But Jesus, being our high priest, being tempted now, we have. He knows exactly what we need. Let me say this, and I know you're getting tired. We're almost out of time. We don't have time to look at it, but you look at Scripture on your own. We are three parts, body, soul, and spirit, right?
Amen.
We are tempted. We suffer in those three areas. Jesus was tempted in those, and yet he was victorious. Let me give them to you right quick. We're tempted mentally, emotionally, right? That's our soul. That's our soul. Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus said, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful. And we know that he anguished in prayer until he, what? Until his sweat became, I would call that anguish, would you not? He was tempted mentally, emotionally, but God gave him a way to escape. Because what did he pray? Not my will, but thy will. Amen? He was tempted physically. We're tempted physically. We suffer physically, right? Many of you going through physical ailments, you know what I'm talking about. It can tempt your faith, can it not?
Amen.
Listen, Jesus suffered physically like no man will ever suffer.
Right.
Amen. You know what I'm talking about? After his arrest, he was beaten with fists till almost unnoticeable. They plaited a crown of thorns, jammed upon his head, then beat him on the head with rods. They scourged him with a cat nine whip 39 times. That left most men dead or lame. And then he was crucified on the Roman cross. He suffered physically like we'll never have to suffer. He could have called 10,000 angels to come down off that cross, the Bible says, right? But he didn't. That was not God's will. It was God's will for him to go through that suffering to pay for my sins and your sins. And because he was in submission to the Father's will like we need to be, he was victorious over that temptation. Spiritually. We're all tempted spiritually. Spiritually. First time on the cross. In eternity, Jesus and the Father were separated when he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because God could not look on Jesus when he was made sin for you and I. Amen? But Jesus was victorious over that, and so can we be. Because Jesus manifested the comprehensive rule of God over every area of his life. Amen? And that's why we need to manifest the comprehensive rule of God over every area of our life and be in submission for His will for our life so that we can be victorious over our enemy, the devil. We have the indwelling Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that God directed Jesus. We have the weapon we need to fight, the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, the truth of God. That doesn't mean this is a 1611 King James S.I. Schofield Study Bible, thumb indexed, note Bible. That don't mean you take this and shake it in the face of Satan. That don't scare him one bit. Not one bit. He's not afraid of that. He just quoted Scripture, right? But you take a man or a woman of God who is in the Word of God, who is studying the truths of God, who understand what God gives him through these words, and is living these truths, now he's scared to death of you. Amen? That's why he wants to keep you weak, defeated, because you are easy prey for him when you're not in the Word of God. Philippians 4:13, we're almost through. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthened me. Yes, you can overcome that temptation. Amen? You can live the victorious Christian life. 1 John 4:4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen?
Amen.
As the pianist comes, begin to play, and we get ready for an invitation. Sin takes place. Now listen, let me go say this. It's not a sin to be tempted. I should have said that to begin with. It's not a sin to be tempted. Again, Jesus was tempted and he never sinned. You're going to be tempted. We done said that. But the sin takes place when you take that temptation. Go to the book of James chapter 1. He lays it out. We ain't got time. Sin takes place when you take that temptation, whether it's body, soul, or spirit, and you begin to reason how you can bring that temptation to fruition. That's when sin takes place. Amen? That's when sin takes place. Martin Luther said it like this. You can't stop a bird from flying over your head, but you can stop him from building a nest in your hair. Amen? Think about that. You can't stop a bird from flying over your head, but you can stop him from building a nest in your hair. A lot of Christians are pretty weird looking. Amen? Walking around with a lot of bird nests in their hair. And the world looks at them like, boy, that's weird. It's what God says, amen? We should be men and women of God. Yes, we're going to be tempted. But we don't have to give in to Satan and his devices, amen? We should be men and women of God who are strong in the truths of God's Word. who are living our life with the visible manifestation of the comprehensive rule of God over every area of our life. Amen? And then you'll see revival. What does it mean to revive? We should have talked about that before. What does it mean to revive? You look that word up at the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia. It means to bring to life or to rekindle that flame that has gone out. Amen? That spark is still in you because the Holy Spirit's in you as a child of God. Amen? But if you get your heart right with God and you purpose, as we said the last two nights, to do everything you can to glorify God, then you'll experience God like you've never experienced Him before. Amen? You'll have that burning compassion to do everything you can to glorify God. That's what revival is. You can say, preacher, I've never been bothered by any of those things that you've talked about. Let me tell you this. You need to be born again.
Amen.
If you've never been tempted by any of the things, the lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, the pride of life, you're a child of Satan. And he will not bother you as long as you are one of his. But the moment you accept Christ and leave the kingdom of darkness and place in the kingdom of light, he will tempt you. So if you've never been tempted, you need to be saved.
Amen?
Amen. Christians, we're born again. Again, we got the Word of God, the Spirit of God, to lead God and direct us and strengthen us. We need to be on fire for God. We need to be living our life to advance God's kingdom to the glorification of Him. Father God, we love You. Father God, we praise You. And God, we thank You for Your Word, for its truths. And God, through Your Word, it tells us how we can have life and have it more abundantly. And Father, I pray if there's one here tonight who will honestly say, I've never been tempted like this. I've never accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of my life. Oh, Father, I just pray right now that You will convict them, make them so miserable they cannot sit there any longer, that they would run up to this altar and confess their sins and be gloriously saved. But, Father, I pray for Christians out here tonight who may be defeated because they'll be honest and they'll say that Satan has more control over their life than God has. Because they've given in to these temptations knowingly time after time. And they've never really tried to fight it or stand for the Lord. Father, I pray that You might speak to them right now and they might humbly come to this altar and confess that sin. And Father, I thank You for Your Word that says if we'll only confess our sins, You are faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Father, it takes a big man, a big woman to do that in front of people. Man looks on the outward. God looks on the heart. And God, You want hearts that are in love with You. Speak to heart, speak to each life. And Father, I pray that we might be obedient because Your Word tells us again, obedience is better than sacrifice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.